Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Larry!
Not Sam, forever,
Sam,
Jesus Sam, Christ.
Sam, no. Cartridge!
I'm gonna go see her, it's just Cartridge. I don't have like a week of
patience. No!
So much.
Live from the Guys Games and Beer Tower basement, it's Guys Games and Beer!
In our 50-story tower, by the way.
I'm Retro Rob with the Guys Games and Beer crew, and today I've got a guest with us, and it is...
John Cooper.
Yes! Yay! And you're with...
Thinking and Drinking.
Darn straight. And
sounds we're gonna like be... our kind of people.
Yeah. I know, right?
Thinking and drinking.
We don't usually think.
No, yeah, no. Okay, but at least half of that is our kind of people.
We start thinking.
We start thinking.
Then we start drinking.
That's the problem.
Yeah. All right, so, Rob, who's here tonight besides Jonathan?
Well, we've got Tegan!
And Tegan, where's Tegan
Where are you from?
Scared Sleepless Gaming.
Yeah.
So, your podcast is what?
Well, we live stream, not podcast.
Right. It's on Twitch.
Live stream. It's on Twitch and Twin Galaxies. And
yeah, you're with those guys nobody ever heard of. Twin
yeah,
Galaxies.
Exactly. Yeah, Twin yeah, Galaxies. Yeah, yeah. Nobody ever watches their stuff.
Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Central Standard Time.
I don't know. You know, I'm already drunk.
Yeah, all right. Good. Okay. And who else is here?
The Noob!
Hi.
Woo! Noobat on my shit list.
Oh, well played, son. Well played.
See, that's why it's called Dick and Tonic.
We got Larry.
Hello.
He'll be drunk soon.
Yes. Not soon enough.
And we got Tommy.
Yep. Hey. Okay, so that being said, what are we drinking tonight, Rob? What's the show beer?
Well, we are drinking Viking Afternoon.
Okay, there is a reason.
So is that like an afternoon for a Viking?
Evidently it is. Okay, so here's why they call it Viking Afternoon, evidently, and Larry and me were just discussing this. It's a light beer. It's a session beer. So you can actually drink it in the afternoon without getting too shit-faced before the evening comes.
Which is no fun.
You know,
fun.
Like when you still have pillaging left to do.
Right. Exactly. If you're a Viking. So the description is, basically they call it a teeter-totter IPA. Wait. What is a teeter-totter IPA? It has big hops, but a light body. I don't know about that. Okay, it's a summer sipper for hopheads. Low alcohol. I'm not going to say low alcohol. It's 4.9. That's not like
low.
A normal beer. That's
for
a normal
IPA,
beer. For an IPA,
it's
only.
Yeah.
Lower alcohol, lots of flavor, hops shining bright, the slightest smolder of cherry wood smoked malt.
Okay. I tasted it.
For those interested in more than just a bitter bite. All right, let's find out.
All right.
I'm not gonna lie.
Flavor test.
I'm not gonna lie. I already had like 2 sips from this beer.
I'm not gonna lie. I already spilled it all over the floor.
I think it's a little smoky.
I taste the smokiness. No, it is smoky. Holy crap!
It's kind of like
it
grilled beer.
It tastes like when you eat like the smoked
too much
cheese.
Smoke.
Like
it's
how you get
like,
that aftertaste.
I wouldn't consider this an afternoon beer. Like I wouldn't want to sip on this in a summer day.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
No.
I'd like to have it with a nice barbecue.
It's got a real smoky taste to it.
Yeah.
Which right. I like.
Let's see how it goes with this
But I'm not thinking that.
Let's see how it goes with this pizza.
Actually, it probably goes good with something like a pizza.
Oh, no, a brat.
It would go good with a brat.
Say a brat off a fire and drinking one of these.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad call.
It tastes like a bonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
It's a bonfire in my mouth. Not the first time I said that.
I think I missed the alcohol.
Anything with beef.
Honestly, because if you're going to be drinking all night or whatever, drinking for a long period, I like session beers from time to time. I mean, I'm always working and always busy, so a session beer is good for me. I can drink while I'm working, which I do all the time anyway. So.
And what kind of beer do we want to hear about?
Yeah, we want to hear what Jonathan's drinking. Jonathan, what are you drinking?
I'm actually with Ballast Point Sculpin. So I've been, as we've been going around building out the game, I've been stalking all the breweries that we feature and trying to get my hands on as much of it as possible. So I'm in muggy Philadelphia, so I figured I'd rather feel like I'm out in California on the beach today.
Don't worry. I miss it already.
Yeah, she's just been back for the day. She just flew in this morning from L.A., so.
Oh, nice.
Just for this podcast.
Yeah, just for this podcast. So you should feel very special. But she flew in specifically to speak to you this evening. Yeah.
Just a pop by.
Yeah, just a pop by to speak to you this evening. So, and your verdict on that one is?
Oh, I love it. It's awesome.
What kind of flavor is it?
It's an IPA. It's not too hoppy. It's pretty damn strong. It's 7.
Oh, okay. See, that's my kind of IPA.
That's only 2% higher than this.
Yeah,
not
but it
that
does
much.
The job.
It does. You know, compared to a 9, I mean.
Can we bring up the math on that? How many beers it would take to catch up?
We'll try to catch up with you.
I'll talk with the editor and find out if they'll do that.
Where's our rating on Viking IPA?
Okay, guys, Viking IPA?
Yeah, I like it.
I like it. I feel like if I'm sitting next to a bonfire eating stuff like that, I feel like it'd be perfect. Like when I go up for 4th of July, I feel like it'd be perfect.
It's not a total loser, but I'd say we're kind of split on it. Most of us are. It's okay.
Yeah. Why not call a timeout, go outside and start a bonfire and give it a try?
I can do that.
Do not give these guys idea they'll start a bonfire here in the middle of the studio.
Can we make some s'mores then, please?
This would be good with s'mores. With something sweet.
It would be good.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that smoky taste
but
with the sweet.
So
with
on its own.
By itself,
it's okay. It's okay.
There's nothing to write home about.
All right, do we got a consensus here? It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Is that a rating?
I like it because I just like IPAs. So.
I'm a big hater of that medium thumb thing, but
but it's tough to say. There are beers that you just can't.
You people and your lips
that you hate. Yeah, I don't hate it. It's
what
okay.
We need a new rating system.
No,
I'm not changing the damn ratings.
Thank you. All right,
If it's a happy face, it's good. If it's a frowny face, it's bad.
No, we're not changing the ratings. All right, Rob, what's the topics tonight?
Oh man,
if we throw it at the camera, it was all right. Bad.
Tonight we're gonna start with thinking and drinking. We're gonna talk about this game, and it's more of a. I believe you said earlier, it's more of a get-to-know-you type of thing at the pub.
Mm-hmm. So this was one of the things that I think fascinated me about the whole thing is, it's really not a game. I mean, you can call it a game, and you can play it as a game, I suppose, but it really is, like Rob said, a get-to-know-you.
And I'm going to bring up that my favorite types of pubs, I do not like clubs at all. I hate them. I don't like loud music. I don't like any of that crap. I never did. When I was younger, I didn't either. I like to talk with people. I like to know who I'm talking to before I get syphilis from them. And it's really, I think it's really important to be able to talk to people. That's the whole point of booze, socialization.
You mean, no, never mind.
Drink more, Larry.
Yes, Larry. Yes, Larry.
You did mean socializing.
I was going to choke on the current media, but...
Yeah, let's socialize. Okay,
So let's talk about... I think we'll first start with... basically, why don't you describe the flow?
Yeah, sure. So we've written over 300 questions, and the whole idea is you just you pull out a deck of cards, shuffle them, put it in the middle, and read a question. And the only rule we have is that everybody at the table, whoever you're playing with, has to answer. And then from there, you can make up whatever rules you want. If somebody tries to back out of a question, you can decide what the penalty is. If you want to decide who has the best answer, let them go next, or who has the shittiest answer and make them buy the next round, you can do that too. The whole idea, like you said, it's to get so people can get to know each other and just talk and put down their damn phones for a little while and get away from work email and texts and everything else and
Mike,
just enjoy
I'm
their
sorry.
Beer and their buzz.
So do you have like suggestions as to like what these penalties can be in the game, or is it just completely up to the player?
It's up to the players, but on our site, thinkingdrinking.beer, shameless plug. We have a whole rule section where we'll continue to update them. When we're test playing the game with people, there's a group of people who knew each other fairly well and probably could answer the questions for each other, and they decided to actually try to play the game based on their favorite like TV show characters.
Ooh.
So they got really, really nerdy about it, but I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you can play it.
So right now it's in Kickstarter.
Yep.
But you've already fairly well play-tested this. I mean, this isn't like we're still in the middle of developing. It's kind of ready to rock and roll. You are literally just kickstarting to get it out the door.
Yeah, we've written all the questions. We've designed the cards. We've done the prototypes. We have actually recruited 312 breweries from across the U.S., at least one in every state and D.C., and they're going to be featured on the card. So
is our local brewery there?
What's that?
Is our local brewery there?
Who? You have a handful from...
MKE. Milwaukee Brewing, MKE?
Yes, they are.
One of our favorite breweries. Okay, so now I want you to explain that because that's something we haven't talked about yet, is that each card is going to feature...
A craft brewery and a craft beer. So when we launched the game, we nicknamed it a game of self-discovery or self-destruction. And the whole idea was you'll learn something new about the people you play with and maybe even yourself. And the other part of it is why not discover new drinks? And part of the great part of drinking craft beer is it's an awesome experience. You know, you can travel to different parts of the country, try local beer, support local beer, and it might actually be fun to try that beer wherever you are. I mean, I went on vacation and I've had local beer and it's never tasted the same when I came home because I wasn't sitting on the beach drinking it. So...
Fair enough.
So that balanced beer right now is not tasting like California to
it. No, it does not taste like California. It's good, but it does not taste like California.
I guarantee any Milwaukee beer will taste like an alley. God, I love them.
And pretty much every alley we've been in.
That is totally not an insult.
No.
No, it is not. That's Milwaukee beer for you. So, all right, well, so each card's going to feature that. All right, now I've got to ask. You've developed over at least 300 questions.
Yep.
What is your favorite question?
I have a couple.
I've seen some of them, but go ahead and hit me with your best.
Why doesn't he give us one of his favorite questions and then we'll play around with it?
Oh, I like that idea. Go ahead and hit us with your favorite question. We will answer each. Everybody here will have
to
answer it.
Do you have to?
Call. Yes.
Yeah, I can give you two. One is the one that's sort of been out there, and it features Stillman out of Green Bay, and. The question is, if giving up cheese made you immortal, would you do it?
Ooh, for Wisconsin, that's a tough one.
Oh, yeah, no. That's why. No. I figured that's a good one here.
No way.
Okay, all right. No, wait a minute. Let's do this. Okay. Rob?
I
couldn't. I've had three conversations today about cheese. Like, I'm not kidding.
Wisconsin. Okay.
I came into Mike? Wisconsin, and that was it.
Dude. I cook with cheese. I love cheese.
This is Wisconsin, by the way. Okay.
No.
I
mean,
you're a
Kelsey?
Vegetarian,
no.
Right?
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian.
But, she's not. Yeah, but she's not. Yeah.
So that's my main source protein. That's my deliciousness right there. That's my meat.
Larry?
Yeah, no.
I
had four different kinds of cheeses in the last hour.
I'm pretty sure I got like three kinds of cheeses in my fridge right now.
On the contrary, I would give up cheese to be immortal.
You know what? Living without cheese is
go back to Illinois!
So wait, how does that work though? Like, if you break down and then like, okay, you give it up, you're gonna die. You automatically eat and oom, right at my.
That's right, all of a sudden, you turn to dust.
Right, mm-hmm. like
I need
so yeah, so,
like Dorian Gray looking at a picture.
Exactly, that's exactly what's gonna happen.
There's no way, dude. No. Living without cheese isn't living.
I'd have to move though. I mean, like if I went
yeah,
to
there's
some
no
place,
way you can live here.
You can live here.
Just imagine eating a burger without cheese.
I'm just gonna put it out there for mortality. I would do it.
No, not
with this. All right. So that is the premise of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how their side points that happen.
Because with this group, I'm sure that there'd be an interesting answer. Yeah. So if aliens landed here right now, which player would you send to greet them?
Oh.
Which one?
Drunk Larry.
Yeah, Drunk Larry.
Larry's pretty close to being an alien.
He has to be drunk to be greeted.
He applied to go to Mars, so we're sending Drunk Larry.
That is true. He did apply to go to Mars.
Yeah, he did.
We're sending Drunk Larry.
But he can't be just like, he has to be like stumbling drunk.
Oh, you want to get drunk first. Yeah.
No, wait a minute. He has to be stumbling drunk. That's like... He has to be breathing.
No. I heard
so you're saying you're saying mech day drunk.
I'm talking about brewery tour drunk too. You fell.
Yeah.
And Ben watched.
Trust me, they would enjoy it immensely.
Hey, I got up.
I know his first question would be too. Hey, could you take me to Mars?
I fell in New Orleans, and all these people came over, and I kind of half sat up. I said, "No, I'm okay. It's all right. I'm in Wisconsin." And you know what they all did? They went, oh, okay. And they all
okay.
Being from Wisconsin, you get a good rep for drinking.
For drinking. Okay, so those are your two favorite questions?
I don't know if they're my... The cheese one's definitely my favorite because it usually gets people to have a pretty, pretty strong reaction.
It did here.
Yeah.
I mean, I was... Actually, I'm surprised how many would not give up immortality for cheese. I'm a little surprised. I would have thought it would have been a little bit more evenly divided.
Mm-mm. I'm just going to say...
I know this is Wisconsin, and I'm a Wisconsinite. I'm born and raised, but I'm... A bit more than surprised.
Living forever sounds kind of boring.
That's
anyway,
what I'm saying.
So.
Like,
not for me.
Without cheese? I mean, yeah, living forever without cheese, that's a real problem.
I've got enough hours in the day as it is.
I'd give up, like, pizza or something.
All right, so. But again, so the flow
so
of the game works.
Set of cheese.
Yeah, but.
Or the flow of it works like that, so it's fairly fluid as far as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I liked the idea of penalties if people don't answer the question. That being said, there must be questions that are embarrassing to answer, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this one might not be embarrassing, but depending on the group that you're with, you know, if you ask them, like, other than your bed, where's the last place you slept? That could wind up getting you in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that might, that, again, with this group, probably not so much, because everybody knows where, I always sleep with Rob anyway, so it's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's true.
So, probably not a big issue with that, but.
Or, who at the table have you ever seen naked?
Oh, no, that one. Oh, that
everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say. Again.
Oh, it's obvious. Come on. Nuba Nubek.
So, now, I mean, this group is pretty extroverted, so we probably would, you know, be.
Thrive at this
game.
Yeah.
Well,
have you run into
playtesting groups where a lot of the people are introverts and did they come out of their shells?
Well, I think it's more like this too. Like, do you want to get that personable with people that you just kind of met at the bar? Because we all
absolutely
know each other.
You might want to.
You might want to. You know?
This is how you meet people.
Right. Yeah. This is a good way to meet people.
Yeah, but this is the way, like, answers don't get, they don't get answered. All right. Because some people might be like, ooh.
So wait, have you tried it with a group of, like, unknowns?
Yeah, I mean, I use it with people who, I mean, I know one or two people in a group of five, or I know one person in a group of five, and it's, and then they'll mix with another group. So when we actually filmed our Kickstarter video, one of the groups of four, one of the people there I knew, the other three didn't know each other. And what they said afterward was, you know, it was like getting to know somebody within probably about 2 hours that they were playing while we were filming the video. And it was like they had known each other for a couple weeks, they said.
So this game can go as long as you want it to go.
Yeah, I mean, another group actually only made it through three cards in about an hour because they just kept on talking.
Wow. Sounds like our group.
Yeah, well, no, it's a good conversation starter, and that that's kind of what I see it as. For our group, like Larry said, we're all extroverts anyway, so for us, we all talk all the time anyways. But I can see this is a good way to break the ice with new people and new groups when they come.
I think Toad Hall needs one of these.
I think
Toad Hall does. I've got one coming already.
Okay.
So maybe I'll donate that one to Toad Hall.
When do these games come out?
So we have about 30 days left on the Kickstarter. I think we're just under 30. And then we have to get them printed, and they'll be out and shipped to backers by the fall.
What was that Kickstarter address again?
If actually, the probably easiest way to go is just to our website, thinkingdrinking.beer, instead of .com, .beer.
I love
that.
That
is amazing.
And then just click on the link.
Can we have that? Like .beer?
.beer. Somebody add that to our collection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you can get like .pizza. I don't know if you can get .cheese, but you can get .pizza if you want.
No. .beer is good.
So the artwork is really the artwork from the various breweries you've been working with, or did you have to get like, you know, additional artwork?
Yeah, so my my wife is an artist and designer, and aside from doing everything else that allows me to function in society, seriously.
Wow, okay.
she also does all the artwork, so.
And what's your wife's name, Plugger?
My wife's name is Nikki.
All right.
Hi, Nikki.
Does she have a website?
She does not, no. Oh. She has basically put her her work on hold so that we can get this launched.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Dedication.
You know, Cody, would you put your work on hold? We've done several of these interviews, and art and getting past the art hurdle is often an issue with getting these games out and stuff. Yep. So that's.
I don't think Help One had a problem. They drew stick figures.
Yeah, well, that's why they had no problem. They drew stick figures.
They had stick figures too.
Just don't stand off camera. Come back on.
They were hilarious.
But it isn't. Because if you start using art, suddenly you can run into copyright problems and all kinds of things. And
yeah.
You use various clip art or whatever.
You have to be careful.
Yeah.
So yeah, art can be a stumbling block.
One of the really cool parts about this is you also get to see the artwork that's on either a brewery's bottle, can, tap handle. And, I mean, some of the designs of tap handles are amazing. And there's a brewery out there called Big Wood. And, yeah. And
you laugh first.
It's a dick joke.
And their tap handle is like a huge axe. So yeah. So, but I mean, like Arcade Brewing out of Chicago, they have kick-ass artwork. Bauhaus has. It's just awesome. The amount of creativity that breweries put in the bottle and on the bottle is pretty impressive.
This one's
kind of cool. I like this one.
Not a bad piece of artwork
totally
on this.
That. Show the camera. Viking Afternoon from Furthermore has got some decent artwork.
It's very cute. I mean, it's a very summertime.
Yep. I like how it's got the axe hanging on the line.
The chainmail bikini,
the
axe hanging on the line. I mean, it's clever.
We do
artwork.
Show the bottle during the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like you do with the cards, we put the bottle down in the corner.
I have selected a beer just because the cover was really cool.
Oh, I usually do. Yeah. And, like, how much is the percentage?
It's like video games used to be, right? Yeah. You know, you just get into the box. Cool.
You
can't
just open a beer in the aisle and just start tasting it.
Well, you can, but they probably frown on that.
Not if you pay for it.
Actually, there might be a law where we can actually get a drink and go around the supermarket and buy a beer.
And keep drinking as we're going. So, all right, so...
You can drink at the grocery store.
Do you already have a printer in mind that you're going to work with?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things we spent some time doing ahead of time. We went through different printers, had them send us samples, did price quotes, and just beat them up on the fact that, you know, we want all the money to go to the printing and delivery. So we're working with Carta Monday, and they've done stuff internationally, so... They actually have a group that works with Kickstarter campaigns, and then we're working with Amazon to do fulfillment. And,
nice.
Yeah, we figured why not just go with the people who have figured out how to send you more cardboard than anyone else.
Okay, so Jonathan,
with the smile.
Jonathan, is this your first game, or is this something I did not see anything else by you guys?
This is my first game. I've been in journalism since I graduated college, and as you know, it's a growth field, newspapers. Sorry. And
okay. Yeah, we're podcasters, here. You know. That's another growth field.
At one point, it was just time to go, and I joined a startup that didn't make it. And after that, my wife just said, "Why don't we do this? We've been talking about going for it. So why don't you devote some time to this and see if we can make a run at it?"
What do you think is the hardest thing about? Have another drink, Rob.
Yeah, Rob.
What do you think is the hardest thing about starting a Kickstarter?
I think it's making sure that you have a network and you know how to get the word out. If you have a great idea, it's not going to wind up just coming to life. You have to make sure that you have people who will help spread the word. You have to make sure that you know how to do some, you know, cheap marketing. You have to know how to get a story written about you. And
you have to go on crappy podcasts.
Yeah.
Hey. So if for some reason somebody didn't back you on Kickstarter but still wants to buy the game later, are you going to have it for sale other places?
Yeah, the goal is
where? I don't know.
Website thinkingdrinking.beer/buy. And again, hoping we've actually had a couple of the breweries say that they want to carry it in their gift shops.
That's a really smart idea.
I'm thinking this game should get paired with the bottle cap game.
Brewing USA?
Brewing USA, yes! Come on! You knew exactly what you were talking about!
Yeah, we've actually spoken.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
We had them on the show a while back.
Yep. We were both recently on a story about games and beer that a guy wrote on the Huffington Post.
Oh yeah, I read that story.
They got a good write-up on the Huffington Post. Holy crap. You got to check it out. They got a great write-up. So yeah, no, that actually, you're right. That wouldn't be a bad pair-up, actually.
I was channeling my Amazon. People who bought this also like this.
You bought this. We gotta start doing that on our website.
Yeah, people who bought this, listen to this, also listen to this. Yeah.
It's just gonna be random, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
pretty much. Yeah. So, yeah. No, all right, so.
Point to the dolphin episode.
Does anybody have any other questions for Jonathan?
Well, can I go with one more? It's not all questions. Some of them are just, we call them requests. So I think this would be sort of funny, and it might be funnier after one or two more beers. So,
Let's finish drinking.
What's the difference between a question and request? So it's no penalty involved?
It's actually not a question. It's sort of like you're being told to do something.
Wait a minute. I did not know about those.
Mm-hmm. So... and I'm looking at the list here, and these two actually, if we wanted to, we could do them together. So the second part of it is tell everyone your best tequila story.
Oh.
But the first part of it is do an impersonation of an Australian accent.
Wait, that's on the same card?
No, but I was going to say, let's put those two together, and now you have to know.
Does anyone remember their best tequila story?
That's not a bad tequila story.
No, that was terrible. Okay, I do remember my best tequila story.
I can't do an Australian accent. Let's hear it.
Tequila stories. My best tequila story was in Wisconsin when I was a younger guy. A guy had drank himself to death. So me and a bud figured, oh, well, we can beat his contest, no problem. His number of shots. So we started drinking a bottle of tequila together, doing shot after shot after shot, seeing if we could beat what this guy did with, and he died. But we figured we were going to live anyway.
What the
shit? Wait, apparently it's tequila.
Apparently, Tom had already made his agreement with cheese.
So I knew I was immortal. So me and Stuart, we had pretty well finished the entire bottle.
Stewie Mac?
Yeah, Stewie Mac. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So the next morning...
You're alive.
I'm alive. I'm in
Stewie's
bed.
Stewie's dead.
But
no.
It's not my bed. And I don't know where I am. And there's nothing worse than waking up in the morning, looking up at the ceiling and going,
oh, shit.
That's not my ceiling. Oh, crap. Where am I? So, yeah, that was my best tequila story.
Well,
and neither of us died, so even better.
So where were you then?
Stewie Mac's bedroom.
Oh. With Stewie Mac cuddled up next to you.
Thank God, no.
Were you worried about the very bad thing?
There were plenty of very bad things, I'm sure.
For me, I bought a really cheap bottle of tequila.
Oh,
surprise.
My God.
And I tried it, and of course it was terrible. But anyone knows me, I have an affinity for fire. So I spent the night... basically spitting the tequila into the bonfire and watching it explode.
Caught mine. So we have some friends, family that they have some land down in Mexico, and when they go down there, they would pick up this awesome tequila. It was cheap, disgusting, but it was all about the presentation. It was a little Santa Claus that had a spigot. Right where you think Santa Claus and spigot would be.
Oh, no. Oh.
Now, we've got a friend who, he's a quiet bear. He's a quiet guy.
Crousy.
But we get him to drink tequila. Now, this man, it's probably, what, a gallon and a half?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
Yeah. About a gallon and a half. Dude puts down, like, 3/4 just fine. Until he hits his wall.
He's a big guy, so he can put it away.
Like, all right, man, you did work. I'll take care of you. So it's just like, wow, we drank way too much
so
of
it's not
Santa
your beer. Tequila.
Oh, no, I drank some of that tequila, too. So
but you remember that was
hammered.
The stuff that Chris
I
and Susie bought back
oh,
in the little bottle with
yeah,
the hat and everything?
You are right.
Yeah. Wow, that stuff was, yeah.
Dangerously delicious?
Yes, it was, actually. Supermarket tequila.
I mean, me and my roommates drink tequila all the time. Speaking of fires, we had a beach bonfire the other day, and we couldn't get the thing started for the life of us. So yeah. we bring wood, you know, like, oh, we got this wood, we got a fire. We have a bottle of vodka and a bottle of tequila. We're like, oh, tequila's more expensive. We're going to use the vodka. Turns out vodka doesn't, it's partly water, so you can't start a fire. Tequila starts a fire. That works. I mean, not my best
survival
tequila,
tactics.
But that I can remember.
Yes.
Hey, but there you go.
Just rubbing our face more about your beach bonfire,
beach bonfires,
you know.
Bonfires, yeah.
It was a
cold.
Fire ring.
Yeah.
And so fire was in there, so I filled up that tequila in like a, it was like a planting cardboard, so you would start seeds
yeah,
in, right?
So
but I filled it up with tequila
oh.
and put it in the fire, and
that's
then it kind of protected it for a minute, and then once it ignited, it came out in a smoke cloud, a mushroom cloud.
Like the greatest.
All right, wait.
A little demon head in it.
Yeah, really. Okay, so Jonathan, now that we've heard some of our best tequila stories, what is your best tequila story?
Oh, man.
In an Australian accent.
In an Australian accent? Yeah. My best tequila story, I probably don't remember. But we, when my wife and I got married, we went away. We took off because we didn't want to deal with all the pain in the ass that is planning a wedding. And when we came back, we did a party with family. And I just remember at the end of the night, people were ordering tequila shots, like, all night long. And we actually bought the place out of tequila. And,
oh, no!
Yeah, and we actually have the receipt, which is probably, like, you know, 4.5 feet long of just, like, rounds of tequila. Yeah, I'm like, someday we'll hang that in our living room and let our children ask us questions about it.
Yes.
All right, Kate, how much was it?
How much tequila or how many dollars?
Dollars.
Both.
It was a few thousand dollars
Ooh.
Worth of tequila.
Oh. Woohoo! Okay, that is a good
tequila.
That is a good tequila story.
Yeah.
Woo! All right.
Wow.
Shall we go on to the next topic, guys?
Yep, we're going to take a 5-minute break for these messages.
All right, so watch whatever message we throw in here. I don't know what Rob's going to throw in here, but I'm sure it's going to be good.
Is
it
going to be me
it.
Drinking good news again?
Is, I don't know either.
Hey Kickstarter, I'm John Cooper. My wife Nikki and I created Thinking and Drinking, a game of self-discovery or self-destruction. Thinking and Drinking is a card game designed to foster conversation. It's about putting down your phone and having some fun with your friends. Each Thinking and Drinking set contains 6 decks of cards, so you'll always have something to talk about. And with that many cards, the game changes each time you play with new people. Thinking and Drinking's easy to play. Step 1, shuffle. Step 2, place the deck in the middle of the table. Step 3, read the card. Step 4, everyone answers. We've designed the game so it's flexible. Thinking and Drinking isn't about keeping score, but you can if you want to. You can modify the play, and you can add rules, like penalties for anyone who doesn't want to answer a question. The game includes questions like, if giving up cheese made you immortal, would you do it? What mythological creature do you wish existed? Other than your bed, where's the last place you slept? Now, we call Thinking and Drinking a game of self-discovery or self-destruction because you're going to learn something new about the people you're playing with, and maybe even something new about yourself. Either way, it's going to be fun. We're on Kickstarter because we need your help and support to launch our game. We've written the questions, we've designed the cards, we've made prototypes, and we've tested it. Now, we're asking for your help to fund the first printing and production of Thinking and Drinking. As part of our Kickstarter launch, we've added a feature to Thinking and Drinking. Each question card includes the profile of a U.S. craft brewer, including a featured beer. We wanted to introduce our Kickstarter backers to some of America's amazing craft brewers. With your support, we'll be able to print the inaugural set of Thinking and Drinking. Please consider backing our Kickstarter, check out the pledge levels, and please get in touch with any questions you have. Cheers.
Masturbated excessively! Whoa. And we're back! Speaking of that.
All right.
Okay, topic for the second half is...
Rob?
The worst gaming system
or
game or device.
Oh, I thought you meant podcast. I was going to be like,
that would be us.
That would be easy.
Actually, we're doing a lot better on Facebook, so I don't think we're the worst.
No, we're not the worst.
We're not the worst.
No,
but
you know the few bad ones, too.
No, no accounting for taste.
See, you know, people like a train wreck. So,
yeah. Like, these drunk assholes, let's watch them.
Hey, I'm just saying Duke Nukem likes you guys. So.
Duke Nukem likes everybody.
All right, so.
Is Duke Nukem high?
Shall we go around the circle and see who's got what?
Yep. Did I tell you guys how good Duke Nukem is? There's $5.
Do you know how much he would love hearing that we were talking about him right now?
Oh, God. So, we're going to talk about the worst devices. I think I'm going to start.
You should. All
right,
He can start.
He's got a joystick on his hand.
But, the topic is the worst.
Yeah, we already
it's open.
Covered that.
You said device.
No.
No, he said game.
You're not listening because you're drunk, Larry.
Oh.
No.
Okay, so here is my worst.
The Atari 7800 controller in America, by the way. Now, Atari has a history of making bad controllers, and we know Atari 5200, very bad controller.
And bad decisions.
Atari 2600. Bad controller. Failed high failure rate.
Not a bad controller, high failure rate.
And hurt after long use. However, Atari said, 2 hours of wear on your hand, that's way too long to wait to have hand cramps. So they made the Atari 7800 controller.
You guys might have been crushing yourself too much.
With its side-mounted buttons. The Atari 7800 controller became like the poster boy for hand cramps during their age. This thing is terrible. So terrible that Europeans sure as hell wouldn't put up with it. So they replaced it with a gamepad for those guys, which I have laying around.
Do you have one? Because it would be good to show up prepared.
No, he had it earlier.
It was so different. They completely released something else because the American one sucked so bad.
Yeah, and I used it on my 7800.
Here's all the dick jokes.
The Atari 7800 controller in Europe, which is actually a passable controller. Not great, mind you. But it is a passable Atari controller. So they can do it. They just decide, hey, Americans really need more crap in their lives.
You know, the first 15 minutes, that controller feels great.
Oh, yeah. And after 15 minutes when your thumb breaks off.
Or it's red and raw.
Yeah. Just like, forget it.
Oh, shit,
we're not talking about that.
Oh, shit,
who wants to go next with their horrible device?
Dibs!
Alright,
or game
go,
or
go,
anything
go.
Else.
Okay,
yes.
So,
or games too.
Or game or anything. Just horrible, worst.
I will say the worst, trying to apply physical activity to children. Wait a minute.
That should be a noble goal. What's the problem here?
That's always.
You better elucidate on that.
Yep. I'm going to go further on that. Don't worry.
Go further on.
I'm going to be weird on it.
Leave.
Right
I'm not going to leave it then. But, so, we all know that the gamer stigma of just like the fat, lazy nerd that just plays video games all the time. So, back in the day, they tried to make us walk a bunch. And they got the pedometer things.
And Nintendo, with the Wii, told us to go outside every once in a while.
My DS still tells me, like, you've been playing for a while, you should stop playing.
Show note, number 3. Pedometer is not how many pedophile attempts you've had. So you know. That's the foot walkie thing.
But what I'm talking about was the Pikachu one that you linked up. Where it was just like real basically Tamagotchi Pikachu, which was a dope game, but you got points for every step you took. Well, the smart nerds figured out, I don't have to walk. Worst feature ever. Yeah, get a kid to just keep twitching. And I get points for twitching? Like, no, you're not going to make me walk. I'm just going to see your... Thanks, guys! Thanks! Figure this out! We got it! Awesome! Let's get some points!
Okay, wait, so those of you listening to audio... Please. Yeah, wait a minute.
Which is pretty much all of you.
Which is pretty much most of our audience who don't watch the video... You really need to watch the video for that particular
part. Sorry, guys. I just want to pull you
they
over
just
to
strapped,
the YouTube.
They just strapped it on their wrist and just went a little wild.
Yeah. Okay, well, that is a good one. I agree. Yeah. That was
that
another
was,
one of those.
That was
another
trying to be noble,
crap.
And then, you know, it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Still doesn't
fail. That is a fail. That is a fail.
That qualifies a fail.
Yeah.
Who wants to go next? All right, Mike.
Since we're on the train of Pikachu and Pokemon.
I'm rubbing one out?
Not rubbing one out, though.
Oh, you missed.
But, why not?
But if you're saying dirty words, I'm gonna go with "Hey, you Pikachu."
Oh, oh yeah.
Where you had the microphone and you talked to Pikachu because who would want to have a
so
talk to Pikachu?
So
want
cute.
A Pikachu?
Yeah.
But you'd be like, "Hey, Pikachu," and be like, "Huh?" And you're like, "Go over there, huh? Go over there, huh? Go." Fuck over there, Pikachu! God damn it! Why don't you listen to me? Huh? God.
So conceptually, not
so
a terrible
like
idea.
Using Siri.
Siri is a dumb.
Oh yeah, or Cortana, or any voice recognition thing of all time.
So okay, so what system was that on?
That was on the N64.
Okay,
you got like this big like. Purple, yellow mic thing that would hook up
that.
To the, yeah. Like your
to your Rumble Pack
expansion
card.
I don't
whatever.
Remember that one actually.
I don't remember
you
that.
Too bad stuff. Like Seaman.
I kind of liked
Seaman.
I liked
not Seaman.
But I do have to say
Seaman.
When you actually got Pikachu to
Seaman.
Seaman. But when you actually got Pikachu to do what you wanted, it was like an achievement.
What?
You're like,
yeah, he actually listened to me.
You're not such a piece of shit.
Speaking of an achievement, if you can name whose beer I just stole, achievement for you, Tegan.
Probably mine, yeah. Was it there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Tegan.
I didn't like it that much. I didn't like it that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I won.
Now you just have to open another
so,
one.
So, who's next? All right, well, then I'm going next. So, okay, so I'm going to do a little show and tell with this one. So, this is along the line of failed game systems. There was.
Hey, Tom. Back up by the mic a little
oh, I'm
there,
sorry.
Buddy.
By the mic a little bit. This is the N gauge.
You're still there by the mic.
Hey, the
N gauge
was awesome. You
okay.
Shut your mouth.
Wait.
He's
I'm going
to talk some shit. So let him.
I'm
going to
talk a little shit first. So the N gauge was a early game system phone. This is pre-Android days. 2003. Thank you. And they really weren't. There were simple games for phones. But they really hadn't developed all that much yet. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at this, dude. It's still in the box and everything, okay? So, I actually picked up one of the N-Gages. I got it for a deal. They're about the time they're running about $300, but I only paid about $100 for it. Otherwise, believe me, I wouldn't have bought this thing.
That's a steal for a useless device.
It was not a useless device. It really was not a bad phone. Nokia made good phones. They just made crappy games.
And you also had to drill a hole in the side?
Wait, I'll explain that in just a few minutes.
Oh,
so,
but
I haven't gotten there yet.
Nokia, so it's like cement.
And
it's
you,
not going
to
break.
No, it isn't. Nokia made good phones. They really did. But they tried an attempt. At this point, the Game Boy Advance was the big handheld gaming system. So they were trying to replace that with a gaming phone. Again, this hadn't really been done yet. You know, there were games for your phone, but this was truly a gaming phone. I mean, they came out with some fairly big titles for
better
it.
Better than that PlayStation
mess.
Did
you ever find yourself into a rumble on a subway with it?
No, I didn't, fortunately. But a few of the problems with the N-Gage was... First of all, was the weird-ass way you had to hold it to talk. So the earphones, the headset was here and the microphone down here, so you had to hold it to your head like this to speak.
Zoom right in there, Tom.
And if you want to look at it, it looks like you're holding a freaking taco to the side of your head. So they called it taco talking. Now, you could mod it by drilling a hole in the back so you could actually hold it like a real phone. So we all did that pretty damn quick because nobody wants to look like this while they're talking on the phone.
Hey. Shut your mouth when you talk about Choco Taco.
But
appreciate
that
taco.
Being said,
be on my
the
guard.
Games weren't that bad, but one of the biggest issues were, unlike the DS and so on, to change the games in this particular phone, you had to pop the back off the phone, take the battery out of the phone. And then the game was basically just an SD card that you slid into your phone, but it made you take everything apart to do it. So literally you had to reboot the phone every time you wanted to play a game.
You better really like that game.
Yeah, exactly. And you couldn't use it as a phone when you had the game in there because the game took over the phone. So to go back using it as a phone, you had to take it all apart again and put the memory or whatever back in it.
So what if somebody called while you were playing?
You did not get the phone call.
Hey, but to my board game friends.
I'm sure. What's that?
It had a great version of Settlers of Catan. That was like one of its premier games.
It had... They actually had a lot of good games for it. It ran, again, this is pre-Android, so it ran what was called the Symbian OS, which was actually a really good phone OS. Had some great games, a lot of features that came out of Scandinavia. I forget where out of Scandinavia.
Yeah, and, you know, at the time it was...
Could've.
Yeah. At the time it was competing with games that basically ran Java.
Yeah, thank you. That was it. You were either playing these games, and it could run the Java
games. Pre-Minecraft.
No, that being said, it could play the Java games. Oh, so, sorry. Yeah. Symbian OS actually could run the Java game, so you had the ability to do that as well. I mean, it was just the problem was Nokia was a phone company, and they really didn't know how to make game systems.
They were forerunning something, so they did something crappy, but we can't give them a nod for doing, hey, we can do mobile gaming.
They really did, I think mobile gaming-wise, you're right, at the point... But you gotta remember, 2003, you were still using flip phones.
Oh, so, I don't remember that. So, I never had a phone.
You still have a flip phone?
Yeah, my Ben still has a flip phone. So, yeah, he's still running
this
a flip phone.
This is another case of good idea, terrible execution.
Yes, it really was. They had the right idea. They went with at the time, phones had the vertical format. They weren't horizontal screens, so most screens were still running vertical. And they did that with this phone as well. 3x4 instead of 4x3. And so they did with this. So the formatting on the games is weird. Just all sorts of issues. Like you said, not a bad idea. Really poor execution of a really a good idea.
Nokia keep putting out the N-Gage? There's more N-Gage.
Yeah, there was a second N-Gage, but here's the whole thing. It was released in 2003. By 2005, they killed this whole line. The QD came out second after this.
No, let's not talk about their second.
No, but that being said,
they didn't improve all the execution problems.
But they did sell five million of these units. Just the one, fortunately. But they did sell 5 million of these units.
No, didn't Travis have one?
The second version...
Yeah, but I didn't buy... Well, I did buy it for him.
He played 12.
The second version, they didn't improve all the things we're talking about.
No.
They
made it smaller. They made it smaller. And made it smaller.
Its ability.
Yeah, they did.
It was like, let's take a bad idea and make it worse.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what they did.
And they sold less of the second unit.
That's what their fail is.
Yeah.
Not the N-Gage.
No, the N-Gage was a fail. Okay.
It was a fail in the outset, but they didn't improve it in the second version.
Correct.
I'll give you that.
All right.
Did they also make like a deck or like a system around it as well?
Oh, I don't know.
Ooh. No, there was no actual thing you could plug the N-Gage into.
Oh,
no? No, there was no docking for it.
Were there any Mad Cats?
Again, another miss.
There were all sorts of accessories for it.
Mad Cats. Mad Cats got it.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, so another miss. Anybody else have a failed system? Wait. I'm going to ask Jonathan in just a moment. I just wanted to see if anybody else here.
This was a hard topic for me. I usually like to try to make the best. You know, the topic was... You know, worst.
Worst
right?
of whatever. Game, card game, board game.
You know, there's very few systems and games and board games. I don't try to make the best of. Now, as a dad, there was one board game that was set upon us, Pretty Pretty Princess.
Oh,
that was just terrible.
Now.
It was just terrible. And I'm just only mentioning it as...
What? The Pretty Pretty Princess board
I played
game.
That in, like, high school. And I was excited.
He's a dad. Dude needs a hug right now. He's a dad. Okay?
Tell me why Pretty Pretty Princess was a bad board game.
Pretty Pretty Princess was more or less a dress-up game.
It sure was.
That took...
I wish you could see Larry right now, Jonathan.
The ideal of the game is to win is to... score yourself a nice, sweet, fat ring.
Some necklaces.
Couple earrings,
yeah. Necklace.
A necklace, and a sweet crown.
Oh, don't forget the bracelet. That matches. Right.
But, and not have the black ring.
Woo!
You don't want
what's
that.
What's the black ring? Okay.
The black ring means you lose all your points.
The black ring is an automatic loser. Okay. If you own the black ring, you are incapable of winning.
Wow. Larry knows these rules way too well. I'm just going to put it out there right now.
You couldn't figure out how to cheat either.
I never made my test like these games.
Thank God.
No, here's why. So I'm sitting here, you know.
Are you still wearing the black ring?
I played this one. And, you know, and the gods are cruel. The gaming gods are cruel. Because I won constantly.
What?
Oh, you won the pretty, pretty princess?
You didn't let her win?
God, there's no way to let somebody win.
Oh.
Is it like...
It's luck. You, like, you hit a spinner. And if it lands on, you do whatever it says to do.
So what you're saying is you're a prettier princess than your daughter.
No!
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm just saying that... The gaming gods are cruel.
Larry, why would you cheat at that game, dude? That's mean. That's so mean.
Okay,
that's
so
Larry does cheat.
Larry does not cheat.
Every freaking game.
Larry does not cheat. Larry's a lucky motherfucker. But
Larry also talks to the third person.
I do not cheat.
I will totally bring this game over. We can all play.
We are gonna have to play Pretty Princess.
Yes, I will totally bring it so we can all play Pretty Pretty Princess.
Some years.
I know.
Don't think it's a bad idea or whatever. It was fine game or whatever. But it was just terrible. Like
he loved it. He loved every moment of it.
I want to say something about Larry though.
I do not.
We were playing Guillotine the other night, and Larry pulled out an ace of spades. I'm just saying.
I never pulled out of it.
Just saying.
You know what? My gaming integrity is not going to stand for your chisel.
So, Jonathan, what's your worst of the worst?
Well, let's see. First, I want to say that I've never used childhood board games to hide the fact that I like to dress up in crowns and jewels. So.
Come on, Larry, be proud.
I want that picture, Jonathan. Ben, we will put it out. We will put it up with the show notes.
I was struggling with this, and I was trying to figure out what was like the most painful game to play when I was younger, and there was a game on NES that it's a sports game. It was Larry Bird 1-on-1 versus Michael Jordan.
Yes, I know what that is.
That was
You just Google it and like listen to the soundtrack, which is torturous enough. But I mean, it was like these guys are probably like both 60 years old like today, and seriously, like that's how good Larry Bird was. It was like a 60-year-old version of Larry Bird who couldn't jump, but he could throw the ball from anywhere, and all Michael Jordan could do was dunk the ball. It was like the most stereotypical, incredible FES. Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
I never played Larry Bird in that game.
You always played Michael Jordan?
Yeah, of course.
Why? Yeah, and then they had the dunk contest, which basically you had like 3 seconds to just press some buttons, and then it switched to one of 3 or 4 pre-recorded screens, which either showed you getting the dunk or missing the dunk.
Oh,
I have another one. I got another one.
I want to hear it.
All right.
If it's another pretty
the franchise is fine.
Oh, no.
Monopoly. Franchise is fine. Monopoly, fine.
But that's not fail.
But Monopoly, the card game, was horrid. And you know why it was horrid? Is the game mechanics resulted in predictable results. Whoever went first won the game.
Oh.
Once you figured that out, it was like, what am I even playing this for?
Well, now I know. If I ever play Monopoly the card game, I go first.
I'm going to bring that camping this weekend.
Yeah, bring that camping this weekend.
It
right.
was a horrible game. Again, it was again in the execution that was the problem. You know, it's not necessarily the bad game idea, but execution.
Can we get that DHL here? Oh, wait. Oh. That'll never show up. Or if it does show up, it'll have a hole in it. I hate you, DHL. Sorry.
All right. So, Rob, I think we've...
I think we're ready to wrap it up. Jonathan, you want to plug your website one more time?
Yeah, thinkingdrinking.beer. That's .beer, not .com. You can get one too. And yeah, just check it out. If you have any questions, you can tweet us at thinkingdrink. And I really just I appreciate the time.
We will have links to both sites on our website underneath the show. Make sure to look in the show notes and see that, guys. Again, Jonathan, we've already backed you. I'm going to suggest to all our listeners, looks like it's going to be a brilliant piece of kit. Back it.
Darn straight.
All right.
And you can visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. If you type .com, don't worry about it. It will redirect. And on Facebook, where everything is freaking happening because we talk on there all the time because we're lonely, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. If you're interested in talking to us on Twitter, it's at guysgamesbeer. Notice there's no and because Twitter is a bunch of bastards. And on Twitch, it's guysgamesandbeer.
They are. They wouldn't let us have.
Wait, how complicated is the YouTube station?
Okay,
the
YouTube. Oh God, we don't talk.
We got links to the
www.youtube.com/guysgamesandbeer.
No,
no, it isn't.
My
God, how many times do I gotta correct you? Are you always gonna be a noob, noob?
Forever noob. Forever bot. All
right. We out of here. We haven't stopped recording yet.
Be a big old boob. I remember be a noob.
You're playing pretty
I will be forever noob.
Bye all!
Bye all! Bye!
I hate you now!